Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as in the goodness of God. Hey!
Think of the goodness of God.
I save it. Our Father, our friend, our healer, and our teacher. We thank God that He is present in every situation and circumstance in our life. We thank Him that when we sit and just remember His amazing faithfulness to us, His amazing mercy to us, His awesome grace that He has lavished upon us. And then when we all God, we realize these are things that He's done, and He knew everything about us. He knew every breath we would take, every lie we would say, every sin we would commit. He knew all those things, and yet He cannot love us more, nor will He ever love us less. Less than perfect, less than faithful, less than eternal, less than hopeful. We are so grateful that our God, all-knowing, because as that settles in our hearts and we kind of wrap our minds around it, we understand that He knows everything about us. He knows us and yet loved us. And not yet He loved us, but He loves us deeply. He loves us completely. He has forgiven us, and we are totally acceptable to Him. And it is because of His recipe that He has for our redemption, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so grateful that His love has sent His Son so that in His all-knowing character, He understood what we would need, and it overrid us and caused Him to come up with a solution for us so that we did not have to suffer, so that we did not have to be the recipient of our own demise, so that we would not have to pay a price that we could not afford, that He could not afford for us to pay, because it would mean we would be totally separated from Him for eternity. And His love was so deep, so wide, so high, so encompassing that He did not want that for us. And He did the ultimate. He gave His Son. He gave His Son and allowed Him to receive the punishment for us. What an awesome God. His perfect, holy Son, His only begotten Son. He allowed Him to suffer at the hands of man. He allowed Him to be mocked and to be beat and to be humiliated and to be lied upon and to be betrayed and to be misunderstood and to be unappreciated. All the things that devastate those around us will experience and do those things to us. And yet, He did without ever having malice in His heart, nor bitterness, nor revenge. He never did it without being sincere and loving, accept and forgive. He is the example. He needed us that He had, and He had to do it first so that He can then be the sacrifice we then can believe and have eternal life, have a transformed life, have life abundantly. And so with all this awesome power of becoming a child of God, of receiving the gracious gifts of heaven, there are things that we need to know and to understand. We become members of a new nation, of a new kingdom. And the King wants us to know about our new place of dwelling, and that is in his home kingdom. So he has brought for us examples of those things that we will endure, those things that we must suffer, those things that we will enjoy, those things that we will encounter, and those things that have become our mission. And so we see how having all-knowing God, not having one, but having an understanding of what that means, embracing that with our minds and our hearts, and we will understand omniscience has an effect on our prayer. His all-knowing has an effect on our suffering. His all-knowing and our fellowship with him is taken to a whole nother level, and his all-knowing and our sin. And so to understand this all-knowing God, we turn to Psalm 130. And we just want to read the entire psalm. It has been the foundation for this particular lesson in knowing God. Psalms 139. Does someone have that?
I have it. I will read it. Not a problem. And he tells us the all-knowing, ever-present God. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from afar away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, are you there? If I make my bed in hell, are you there? If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limit, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light around will be like dark, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. The darkness and light are alike to you. You are that all-knowing, ever-present God. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You are all-knowing and ever-present. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made by an all-knowing God. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, because you are an all-knowing God. When I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me. When I was formless, all my days are written in your book, because you are an all-knowing God, and planned before a single one of them began, because you know. Lord God, how precious our thoughts, how precious your thoughts are to me more vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God, if only you would kill the wicked, the bloodthirsty men, stay away from me, who invoke you deceitfully. Your enemies swear by you falsely. Lord, don't search me. Lord, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the path everlasting. So this is the declaration of the God that knows it all. And even in knowing it all, he has an unshakable, unending love for each one of us, a love that is determined to bring us to an expected end, a healthy end. That is his desire, and that is his heart for us. So when we look at some of the... Yes.
Can I read this out of the Jewish Bible?
Oh, how wonderful. Yes. Absolutely.
And it says at the beginning, for the leader, a psalm of David. Adonai, you have probed me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I stand up. You discern my inclinations from afar. You scrutinize my daily activities. You are so familiar with all my ways that before I speak even a word, Adonai, you know all about it already. You have hemmed me in both behind and in front and laid your hand on me. Such wonderful knowledge is beyond me, far too high for me to reach. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I lie down in Sheol, you are there. If I fly away with the wings of the dawn and land beyond the sea, even there your hand would lead me. Your right hand would hold me fast. If I say, let darkness surround me, let the light around me be night, even darkness like this is not too dark for you. Rather, night is as clear as day. Darkness and light are the same. For you fashioned my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made. Wonderfully, your works are wonders. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes could see me as an embryo. But in your book, all my days were already written. Wow. My days had been shaped before any of them existed. But in your book, all my days were already written. My days had been shaped before any of them existed. God, how I prize your thoughts. How many of them there are. If I count them, there are more than grains of sand. If I finish the count, I am still with you. God, if only you would kill off the wicked. Men of blood, get away from me. They invoke your name for their crafty schemes. Yes, your enemies misuse it. Adonai, how I hate those who hate you. I feel such disgust with those who defy you. I hate them with unlimited hatred. They have become my enemies too. Examine me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is in me any hurtful way, and lead me along the eternal way.
Amen.
I just started to say it a little differently.
Yeah.
And this Bible is out there on YouVersion. It's called the Contemporary Jewish Bible, you know, so for the scriptures that are in Jewish, you can, you know, read them right there on your phone.
Amen. And that's a blessing.
I was reading along with you in the, I was reading along with you and Minister Paulette in the Easy Read with Minister Paulette and in the New Jerusalem Bible with you, Elder. And it's, you know, in some spots it reads almost the same, and in other spots it reads totally different. And I was gonna say, Minister Paulette, I was gonna read, but soon as I was gonna read, a call came in, and I could not cut them off without cutting you off.
Okay.
The devil. But yeah.
Amen.
But yeah, it's amazing how different. That was the Jewish, and this is the New Jerusalem. In some spots, you know, and in some spots I said, wait a minute, where is she? Because it was totally, completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the words that they use.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, that's what Bible studying is. It's not just, you know, picking up a book and just reading it, okay? But it's following it. It's the, I think they call it mapping and stuff, just finding everywhere it is. But that's when we're searching. He said, seek me and you'll find me. Be hungry for what I am sharing, because this is a part of your heritage. This is a part of your new life. This is the basis for everything you're going to experience. So you want a complete understanding of it so that you're not disillusioned or deceived in any way, and know that he knows it. He knows this.
Yeah. So, like, overseer, I think that
verse 20 says, Yahweh, do I not hate those who hate you and loathe those who defy you? My hate for them has no limit. I regard them as my own enemies.
Amen. Amen. When I read that, and sometimes in Psalms, you know, the psalm writers, they have some really strong emotions as it relates to their enemy. And in that environment, I call it a dispensation, that may not be the correct word, but in that time, this is what God taught them to keep them, because he had separated them, and separate yourself from them. And so, you know how sometimes you would always tell your child, don't play with matches or don't play with fire. But there's going to come a time that they're going to be able to handle the fire and matches and whatever. And I often think of, it's like, I'm not supposed to hate, because the New Testament tells me to pray for them. Okay? But what I realized was, In those days, they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. We do. Now that Christ has come. So now we're able to look at them the way God does, and that is forgiveness with love for them, because he loved us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies to him. And I know sometimes the kids, you know, he just, anybody that sins, he just hates them, he wants them to go to hell. I said, well, you know what? could wait that for us because we had not come to the truth. No, we needed to, God was merciful and gave us a grace period, gave us grace period to come to him. And that's because he's an all-knowing God. So he can say these things. We cannot. And this hate they had was hating the nature of sin and those things that these people do. But they couldn't separate it because they hadn't come to have the power of God in them in the form of Holy Spirit, who gives you discernment and gives you understanding and a wisdom and a God's eye view of people and things. And so they just needed to, you know, the evil that people do in those days, in that time, and in that culture, okay, was just totally unacceptable. To teach them the holiness of God, there was no gray area, either yes or no, either choose be blessed or be cursed. There was no gray area. Whereas Christ,
I said, you're not kidding, because he would kill some people. You know, you did something, now you're unclean, in Numbers or Leviticus, and he would tell them, take them outside the camp and stone them. I'm thinking, like, really?
There you go.
You know, it was like there was just no tolerance. The line was very clear. I mean, I don't even know if we have a line. Yeah, we do, but, you know, it moves. You know, the black and white is really, really gray, but, you know, back then, especially in the Old Testament, it was very, very serious. You know, it was God was exacting in his not only in his law but in his judgment on certain things that just were not allowable. What I was going to say before, as we were reading the different translations, was that I certainly would recommend that the folks on the line, if you don't have a parallel Bible, look online, look for a used one. There are tons, thousands of used bookstore. Probably anything you want, you can probably find a used copy, but a used parallel, you know. And I've seen them in hard copy up to 4 different Bible versions, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you had 2, you could have 8 different versions in front of you at any given time if you wanted to, just to sometimes just look at those words that are different, like, you know, you probe me, you search me, you know, those kinds of things where you can just see it right there, you know, even if you didn't have the resources to do extensive study in exegesis because you had software or a whole bunch of different volumes of things, but just the translations like that YouVersion that gives you all those different Bibles, you know, you really have it right there. You know, you have what's in a seminary library, you know, because it gives you 40, 50 different versions. You know, it's really no excuse that we can't go and look, you know, at that. And then it also shows us that these are people who are interpreting what the original said. I remember yesterday Dr. Kathy talked about interlinear. The interlinear gives you just whatever the original language and whatever the translated language is that you're looking at. So, you know, right above or beneath, if in the original language it says Adonai, underneath it would say Lord. Or, you know, if the original language said probed, underneath what the translator put that in was, you know, was searched. But it gives you an idea of what they were thinking, because they're only men too, you know, and the Holy Spirit is no respecter of person, you know, that it allows us to be able to see, and it's fluid and alive, you know. So the Lord can speak to us in the Word. I'm certainly not saying he's going to give us a new translation or transliteration, but some of these things have come about in the last 40, 50 years. The voice, the passion, those weren't there 40 years ago. You know, I mean, so as people read and study the Bible and the Lord opens up things. But, you know, we try the Word by the Word. So.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
But it was, I was reading, I was just looking at this passage and the words that they used where it said, I will say, let the darkness cover me and the night wrap itself around me. Even darkness to you is dark and night is as clear as the day. You created my innermost self, knit me together in my mother's womb. For so many marvels, I thank you. A wonder am I, and all your works are wonders. You knew me through and through. My being held no secrets from you. When I was being formed in secret, textured in the depths of the earth, your eyes could see my embryo. In your book, all my days were inscribed. Every one that was fixed is there. That says a mouthful. And
yeah.
Thinking what you said, Elder, about a line. And in my mind, it said, yes, we still have a line, but because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, he said, no, Father, have mercy.
You know, and I also believe,
that crossed my mind, you know, that because he's sitting by him, he's saying, mercy, Father.
And
so
yet, for
he probably
us,
would take us out. Yes.
Absolutely. And yet, I think for us, we don't know the Old Testament like we should and ought.
Mm-hmm.
And so that wasn't one of the first things that we were exposed to with the Word of God. So as a result, our first experience was this tender mercy and this
right.
grace that came with Christ, and we failed to understand truly the omniscience, the omnipotence, the holiness of God, because we didn't see his original conversation mm-hmm. to mankind. We do the Genesis and then we skip over into the to the New Testament. But I believe that what Holy Spirit is doing is bringing that black and white back. Well, you're not bringing it back. He is teaching it. And just like we read in the vine, the result had been really small fruit, but we have to produce much fruit and then more fruit. And it is that pruning that he is going to do. And in studies like One-on-One with God and this, the God you did not know the very extent of his characteristic of holiness. Understand, really, wrap our minds, and that's hard to do, around something and someone who is pure. And we always know that Christ didn't sin, you know, but we don't associate that with us. That was him and this is us, and yet, the same thing is to be true for us, but we don't teach that, and we're not teaching it so that man has a goal that he's trying to obtain and he can't get to. No, but to understand he is in a process of perfection, and God is going to bring that perfection. And so I believe that as we do it, just like with anything that God gives us, our heart has to be a heart of God, which is why the 33 heart conditions, because if we had that understanding and we embraced our minds around the holiness of God, we would tend to become self-righteous. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees did. Because they had that knowledge, they reverenced God so that he wouldn't even call his name, whereas we call his name, and his name is called in this culture and society with the drop of a hat from some of the greatest demons in the world. However, because they have no reverence, but then neither do we. We don't have the kind of reverence that they had in the Old Testament. And just like you said, they take them to the camp. I mean, at some point, He just let the ground open up. You talk about a sinkhole. He made a sinkhole and ate up the whole tribe and things.
Oh, yeah, Carl's company. Yep.
Exactly.
He said, the earth will clave, and they will be no more, them and they stuff.
Absolutely.
You know?
But we don't believe that because we're so used to mercy and grace. So we sin, he'll forgive me because Christ is a forgiving God. But what that does is cheats us out of understanding the power of that forgiveness. The power of that forgiveness ushers in the growth of a godly love that is what will draw people. So to understand, yes, he forgives you, but he forgave you, you know, before you were even, you know, one cell came together, before you were of anything, he had already knew everything about you. So that kind of, that cut your legs off from being, you know, self-righteous or self-centered or think more highly of ourselves than we ought, because we understand that before we were anything, and then he even called us filthy rags. But yet he has a love that is going to clothe us with the very riches of the kingdom of God, because he loves us, because he, in knowing that he's an all-knowing God, which is one of the things I love about this author, how he kind of lists some things, our God is all-knowing. He possesses total, boundless, absolute, universal, unlimited, comprehensive knowledge. It's one of the most exciting aspects of the attribute of God, because most of us would love to have someone, anyone, who really knew us, knew all about us, knew us fully and understood us completely, yet accept us unconditional. And that can only happen through the kind of love that God has, that all-knowing, God knows you better. Actually, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the status of our health, whether we take an exam or a stress test or our blood pressure. He knows the temperature of our emotions, the level of our faith, the purity of our thoughts, the maturity of our soul, the hurt blighting our history, and the fears that clouding our future. He knows what we're going to say tomorrow. He knows every word we'll speak in every conversation we will ever have on earth. He knows when we go, when we come, whether we do it in the dark, at night, on the other side of town, or as one of the old ladies used to say, for us, go to the end of the town and stick your head in a barrel and then say and do whatever you want to do. Well, he's there, too, in the bottom of the barrel, looking up at us. And so we just are so reminded of this God who even formed our bones. He formed the bones, not just put them together like the dry bones, but he formed the bones. The wonder of wonders, God had planned every day in our life, every day of my life, God has recorded in his book. He wrote it down, because he knew exactly what was going to happen. Every moment was laid out before a single day came. God had already written it out. So when we wake up, we realize he is still with me. That's when you wake up emotionally and spiritually and realize, oh, you know, what a beast I am. You know, I am a beast before God, yet you are still with me. So we're acting like animals and filthy rags, and yet he sees us with loving, merciful eyes and draws us tenderly to him. The author says it's mind-boggling to know the things that come into your mind. You know what it's like if you were walking with somebody who knew all your thoughts? Oh, my God. Okay. God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Known to God from eternity are all his works, those wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge. He knows every star's name. Every star's name. He says, I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient things that are not yet done. And so should we not listen to a prophetic word from God? Should we not take it seriously, important, not just saying it because that's the word the prophet gave, da 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 da. No, he is releasing a knowledge to us, a truth to us. He's releasing power to us because it becomes very advantageous for us to know some of the things that are going to be. Jesus, someone say something? Okay. It says, how does he know these things? He woed people to warn them of the things that would come. He accused the disciples because he knew that what they were thinking in his mind, all knowing. He knew what they were saying even when they weren't close to him. He knew what they were saying when they were using words, but that wasn't what was in their heart. And he challenged them because he knows. Is how could Jesus possibly know what had happened in a remote city in a hypothetical situation? And I love it. He even knows the outcome of any possible scenario that could come about. It says from this passage we ascertain that the all-knowing of God means he not only knows everything that is actual, he also knows everything that is possible. There are no hypothetical questions for him. He knows every contingency would resolve itself were it implemented. So no matter, you know, I said, well, suppose I do this, I wonder what would happen. He don't have to suppose. He don't have to. He can just say, okay, if you do this, that's going to happen. You do that, that's going to happen. So every year, plan A, that's what Apostle said. There ain't no plan B. Okay? God doesn't have one because he knows. He's all-knowing. He counts the number of the stars and know them by name. And he knows every hair of your head are all numbered. And he numbers our steps. And I love this. God knows the temperature of every star, the composition of every planet, the size of every galaxy, and the course of every comet. He knows the shape of each snowflake and the design of every seashell. He understands the mysteries of the depth below and the height above. He knows what lies beyond the galaxy, and he knows what lies beyond the grave. His wisdom is high as heaven, as deep as the ocean, as broad as the cosmos, and as long as eternity. That's a powerful God that we serve, a powerful God. So knowing this makes it really, you think about it, pretty easy for us to confess our sins, because after all, he surely knows us. And we also know that even in knowing him, he loves us. Okay, so it's like a life-impacting influence on us. I can agree with him, and that's the repentance. That's the turn. I can agree with him because he's all-knowing, and he knows it anyway. And that's just like trying to tell somebody how something went and then realizing, oh, they were there. They know. So I can't embellish. You know, I can't lie about it, okay? They know already. So you just say the truth. We can't hide sin. He says no matter where you go, I'm there. But then he didn't just say he was there judging and condemning us. He said he was there and he would uphold us with his hand. So in other words, he knows we're at that bad spot. But this terminology they have now, you know, but I got you. I got you. I know you're not doing what I know is best for you, but I got you. And you will, because I've committed myself to this for you. There is nothing God does not know, no secret or secret thoughts, no secret plans, no secret longings, no secret fears. Every thought that flashes through our minds, God knows instantly. The worthlessness of all our excuses will vanish before the throne of God, because he sees the reality and the totality of who we are and what we've done, which is why, you know, Apostle said, don't give an excuse. It really doesn't matter. Okay, so these are the things that he's all-knowing, makes it easy for us to surrender, to confess to him. He says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sin in the light of your countenance. And all these are scriptures from the Word of God, scriptures that give us the picture, ponder, and so that we may pray, of our position and our status, if you will, in the kingdom of God. Would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. We learned that in the divine. When he knows the things that are clogging up our growth. He knows what the obstacles are against us. He knows, you know, the fact that we need to be lifted up out of the dirt, because when it rains, it becomes mud and it suffocates us. He understands that's what sin does. You know, originally it may seem desirable, but the scripture even says the end thereof is the way of destruction. It will destroy what our natural nature and destiny are to be. But he is the vine keeper, and he is always examining. The scripture ends with, search me. Search every area of me, and whatever you find, you know, then that is not in harmony with you, that defies you. And sometimes we don't know we're defying God. We have areas in our lives, and we have accepted them, and we want people to accept them because we believe, you know, well, you know, God made me like this and all of that. However, the Lord knows if it has become, it is becoming a place of contention in our fellowship with him. So our fellowship is enhanced because he's all-knowing. And so we can't pull the wool over his eyes. You know, we got to be real, if you will, with him. And, you know, it is so. That's why he said, my truth will set you free. When you're real with God, when you know his omniscience and his that he's always there with you, and you already know he's faithful. You already know he's good. You know, we went through that. You know those things, that he has a plan, and it is good. And now we understand that because he knows everything, he is all-knowing, that this is going to enhance my fellowship with me and him, for me to know his will. Because his will, and when the song says his will, is what's best for me. Because after all, he knows my end from my beginning. It is a tremendous encouragement in our daily walk to know that the all-knowing God has fellowship with me, and he knows me inside and out. He knows my up, he knows what I'm going to go, he knows what I'm going to go, he knows what I'm going to do. He'll know when I stay too long. He'll know when I go there and I do something I'm not supposed to. He knows all of that, and he loves me. He knows all about, yet still he loves. His love and our all-powered nature are both infinite, which means he can never love me better nor less, because he's endless and he is unchanging. And so he don't have to change his mind, because his mind know what is always going to be, and it's going to actually be what his mind says. Actually, the Lord knows who it is. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way that we will take. He loves us incredibly. I love those kinds of words, incredibly. If you had a lover that loved you incredibly, you would be on top of the world. Couldn't nobody tell you nothing. And I know this. I'm a woman just like you are. And I know what our hearts desire would soar at, because God made us that way. But he made us that way to feel that way about him, because he understands, because he knows, and nobody else going to make the grade like he is. So as long as he's that number one, honestly, it really doesn't matter what anybody else does, because he's all-knowing, and he's ever-loving. He is an endless knowledge. He loves us with an everlasting love. Nobody can tell him anything to change his mind. Nobody knows anything about you that they can tell him that he don't already know. There's no enemy that can make a false accusation stick against you, because God knows the truth. And that's why confessing the truth frees you. You don't even worry about somebody telling you. You can tell him anything you want, because he knows. Because that's that fellowship I have with him. That's that time together that we have. That's that progressively knowing him more intimately and just in awe of the wonder of his person. There is no unsuspected weakness in my character that can be discovered by God to change his attitude towards me. He already knows all my flaws. With God and with God alone, we are fully transparent and totally intimate. So in other words, with God and God alone, you are naked. So don't be scared. Don't be afraid, because that's how he saw you. He saw you while your parts were being put together and coming together as a person. And so this is a awesome indication of how our lives would change, and then we would be people of integrity. We would be honest, because we understand. It would breed honesty. You wouldn't have a reason to want to lie or to embellish or not want to tell the truth or have something secret, because you realize you're in an environment of a perfect, unconditional love. And so you can do that, because the one that knows it all anyhow. And the people that don't will come to understand that his love can free them too. So the truth sets you free from fear, from secrets, from weaknesses or what do you call it, the things that you do that are because you're insecure. You don't have to be insecure. The all-knowing God loves you endlessly, boundlessly, okay, and he understands. You say how wonderful it is to have such a friend as him, who nothing is hidden. We can go to him again and again, seeking his counsel, confessing our sins, embracing his promise, and singing his praises. That's the environment he has created in his kingdom for those who love him, those who are chosen. And so his all-knowing breeds this kind of integrity in us, and then we encourage it in other people. You know how there's some people you tell and you don't even know why. Oh, I don't know why I told them that, because it's in an environment that had been created that was what we call a safe space, a safe place, okay. A space where you can feel and don't not just say, you know, we love you. No, but you can see love in action, love that doesn't condemn, love that's sincere, love that is not selfish, love that's honest, love that's pure. You go down that 33 list of love, love that's non-judgmental, love that's not vengeful. You know, all of these, you sense that, yes, Jesus. You sense that and you know that, and you rest. That's why he said, and there is rest to your soul. I don't have to be frustrated and concerned about all the negativity around me or that we perceive might come around us if people found out the truth. Because here is one who knows the truth, and he has nothing but love. And, yes,
No, go ahead. Go ahead. But when you finish,
no,
I just want to say. I just wanted to say, when as you were saying that, I went back to this, that 14th verse in the 139th Psalm that says, I thank you because I am awesomely made, wonderfully.
Yeah.
Your works are wondrous. I know this very well, but you know what? We really don't know it very well. And as you're saying it, just the reality of actually what it says, you know, when it says, my bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes could see me as an embryo, but in your book all my days were already written. My days had been shaped before any of them existed. That is so awesome that the days were written and had already been shaped before they even existed. They existed in eternity with God before, you know, your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother was even in the earth. He already knew what your days and your words and your actions were going to be, because he had already made them, because he could see us embryonically, which is just an awesome kind of thing. And I think that you know, when we look at something like this 139, this 139th Psalm, where it says, where can I go? Although we think there are places they can go. I got places I can go. But, you know, it is good that we are reminded that even in those places, you know, like the lady with the head in the barrel, you know, get on the bus, drive your car to the airport, get on a plane, go somewhere else where you think nobody knows you, another state, you know, a stranger or whatever, God still sees it all and knew that, you were planning this trip. You were planning this excursion, this deviation from, you know, all things that you thought were familiar, to go somewhere, some other place, but everywhere is familiar to him because he is omnipresent. It really is mind-boggling. You know, I don't even know if boggling is the correct word. I'm not saying it's incorrect, but you know what I mean? Holds the full essence of how incredible that is when you really try to wrap your brain around the fact that he's everywhere and all-knowing and, you know, eternally existent. So, you know, our arms are too short to box with God. You know, we need to just submit and obey. But even then, it's almost like even then he allows us to be foolish before him. You know, like you said, and he still loves us. You know, like go ahead. You know, I'm gonna tether you. Go ahead and do whatever foolishness you're gonna do. You know, I still love you, but know that there are consequences. You know, when you decide to do those things, but you know, it doesn't break the relationship that we have with him. You know, even when our fellowship is jacked up, you know, he is still right there. You know, when it seems like now he's on the other side of the planet. You know, because of my own decisions. He's like, I'm still right there. You know, I'm still sitting right there looking at you, you know, doing and going through. And sometimes we don't even have to do. It can just be where we are in our head, in our thoughts, you know, our lack of trust and security in what he has done. But when you look at something like the 139 Psalms, to think about, you know, why would a God who loves us like this, who knows us so intimately, would allow us to be plucked out of his hand? You know, that you know, it's well,
we cannot be plucked out of his hand. The New Testament tells us, Jesus said, now that's the devil trying to deceive us, making us think that he can. When he cannot, the devil cannot pluck us out of his hands. Now, we may think, why doesn't he keep a tighter grip? What love is a tighter grip? Love is freedom. Love is not torment. Love is not, and you have to walk in love. You cannot be placed there, mashed down, and you sit there, you know, and love issues out from you. But it has to be something that your soul, I love it where he says it in here, he understands what our soul wants. He says, we long for someone who can understand our souls. That, and that's what he does. He knows our hearts and our hurts through every trial. So he's not trying to make us take his way. He is just presenting who he is to us so that we can, he told the children of Israel, choose you this day. Every day we have to make a choice, an intentional choice, to embrace and agree with God in our life and in our living. And the fact that we agree with him means we've come to understand that he's the winner and I'm going on his side. Excuse me, y'all. Okay. I can't be deceived in this area because he has taught it to me. He has showed it to me. You know, you can teach or you can tell somebody something. That does not teach them that thing. But you can disciple them into understanding the thing, and then it becomes a part of who you are, and then it can't be separated. That's when you become unmovable. No, I can't, because this truth has freed me from lies. It has freed me from a deception. It has freed me from the opinion and will of people, and I choose intentionally his will. So now I'm going to look for his recipe to receive his will. And that's the if my people, I was reading somewhere, that's his recipe for his children, not for the world, but it's for his children. So when we want that revive and that refreshing, that's how we get it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. So the first thing, we have to examine ourselves. Am I humble? Have I gone through my Christian walk to a point where I think I am doing it and not him? Have I acknowledged him in all my ways, all of my words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart? Are they acceptable to him? And then we go from there. And as we go to those places, we have the power of the Holy Spirit and his ministry to bring correction and to bring teaching to us, which is why more is expected of us in the New Testament, because now we have the third Godhead dwelling. The Bible says our bodies are his sanctuary, but our hearts is the Holy of Holies, where he dwells to produce the God love there that comes straight from heaven. And so those are the things that free us from everything around us, because it lifts us up to a place where our Father is, where our Savior is, where our intercessor. Someone mentioned, you know, he's sitting next to the Father making intercessions for us. We are so covered till it's awesome. Because he's making in his spirit down here, is even telling us what to say when we pray, okay, and then teaching us how to say it, when to say it, and why to say it. And the Father is hearing and just loving, and this loving never ceases. So when he sees me, when he sees you, he sees his son. That's who he sees. If he had to pick, I love that search for significance exercise that asked, if God saw you standing next to Jesus, who do you think he would pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, powerful word.
We stand next to him. He sees his son. Yes. Go ahead, Ms. Spence.
No, I'm at the doctor's office, but I just wanted to, just wanted to say this was the most powerful word ever. All I could do is hear it today, not see it.
Amen.
So, I mean, not talk, but thank you all.
Oh, no problem.
Okay,
love
you. Y'all.
Okay. You know, the author shares the fact that in our suffering, and I did want to get to that, I'm a little over, but in our suffering, the all-knowing God, and we have some questions in the other book, and in your study guide, and I hope you've looked at it, because I think we all can relate to it. It says, have you ever been a time of pain that you were so hurtful you couldn't express it to anyone you knew?
Yes.
Okay. And how did that make a difference? How did that make you feel? How did that make us feel? I know how it made me feel. I don't know how it made you feel, but remembering that just makes the love that we have for Christ overflow in our soul. Because you know he was there. No one, not a doctor, not a nurse, not a mother, not a father, not a sister,
not
a child. Not a friend, not a nothing. Because you can't even express the level of pain. There aren't words that exist that would communicate, you know, the condition that we often found ourselves in. But he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And not just there, he understood. He takes our hand. He said, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, the right things that your soul needs, I got it. I understand the longing of your soul. I understand the pain in your heart. I understand the hurt. My son endured the suffering so that you could be free and I could be here with you. So it says, how does that make you feel? What does that do to your spirit? When your spirit wants to be overwhelmed, Psalms 142, what does that do to your spirit when your spirit wants to be overwhelmed? I love it when the psalmist David, he says, he encourages his soul, my soul, why are you down? I said, what's wrong with you? What do you not know? You know, the King of Glory, he's here. He is here. And for us, he's in here. Okay, he's in the inside where the pain is. He's there. He really is, and he knows about it. He endured it. He experienced it, and he knows the comfort that we need. We often look for the miracle, take the pain away. Okay? Paul said it. Many people said it. Christ said it. But God said, my grace is sufficient. Yes, John said, there were so many other saints. And he shows it in his word, so he understands there's going to be a time you're going to do this. But I need you to understand I am there. And
grief
my
and
grace is, there you go, is sufficient. In your grief, I have graced you to experience this because you know who I am. And it has become a part of you. And I need you to be so convinced about it that you will share with everybody that you meet. Everybody that I send your way, you will have the testimony of the wonder of my person, not your person, but the wonder of God. That's in Philippians that we're doing it in one-on-one. And the wonders of him. And when we share that, he is undefiably come out on top. I mean, can't nobody compete. I heard somebody this week say, I'm really competitive. He says, I have no competition. None. And everything and anything that wants to try to compete with me loses. I win
every time.
That's right. Because you know what? I created this. I'll say when it started, and he alone will say when it ends. And when he says it's over, we got to make sure we on the right side of the finish line. Okay?
Amen.
Because just as he says when it's over, he will also say what the loser is going to get. But it is not going to be a surprise. He wants us to know full ahead in advance. And, you know, they people say, you know, a loving God wouldn't send people to hell. He didn't send anybody there. He didn't make it for us.
He didn't send none.
He let us go.
We make the choice to go.
You know what? Not only do you have to go, you got to choose to go and work at getting there. Because he's so merciful. Yeah. He said, I give the good to the bad and the good. I share myself with them, whether they're good or bad. I give them myself. You know, he said he gives everybody something of himself. He gives some people everything of himself. And then he gives everybody his mercy. And so you purposely intended to work at going there. He is somebody says he's a gentleman. He's not a gentleman. He is just an almighty God. And he lets you do, go ahead. Okay.
If that's what you choose to do, that's like if we constantly be wanting something that's not good for us and we keep begging for it, then a lot of times he'd be like, okay, you don't even understand why I won't let you have that because I'm trying to protect you. And a lot of times he'll step back and just say, so you can see this was not the best thing for you. And then when you start to see that, I see now, then you'd be like, I want that. You know what? He was right. I'm sorry. I was wrong.
That's it. Now you convinced, aren't you? Mama say the fire is hot. You didn't believe it. So you touch it. Now you say, yeah, she right. That's hot. Don't touch that. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Don't believe fat meat is greasy.
There you go. Absolutely. And as my grandmama say, even though it'll make you slip and bust your head open, it's like, okay. But powerful insight that God wants us to receive and to embrace. To embrace and to understand that in doing so, our walk becomes a joyous one. It is not a struggle, but it is a joyous one. So we will go to our next chapter next week. And we are fast approaching the end of our book. And y'all know where we're going from here because I told you. So the sovereign God, let me see what the number is. That is going to be lesson nine next week, which will be April. There's a lot going on. Check your announcements. Enjoy the teaching and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Come out to a conference, or it's a virtual conference tomorrow. What? Virtual conference tomorrow. What? 10 to 12?
Yes, we're asking everybody to log on. We're doing Sexuality Bound, Exploited or Free. It's only 2 hours. And this is just kind of like an introductory. We want to get it started. We plan to have some additional follow-ups as the year goes on, just in the area of sexuality. But, you know, we want to lay a foundation and, you know, have a dialogue.
Right.
It's a dialogue. So it's five people. It's not like one long presentation or anything like that. Five people talking about five different subjects, but all under the umbrella of sexuality at 10 o'clock on Blog Talk. On Zoom. I don't have the number right now, but it's in your email from Elder Sharita. She has sent it out. So please join us tomorrow from 10 until 12. And we want your comments and your questions. You know, on there. So this is a dialogue, a colloquy, I think it's what it's called. And which is just a fancy name for having a conversation and dialogue. So come out.
Oh.
Or tune in. Tune in. Come out. Tune in tomorrow, 10 to 12.
Yeah. And if you do not have the number or the login, or if you don't get stuff from Elder Sharita, but some of the people on the line do not, you can call me. I can look it up or give you Elder Debbie's number, and she can tell you. Okay. All right. And then we have on April, is coming into April 9th, is Let It Rain, a refreshing symposium that's virtual as well, correct? So you got a lot of opportunities to sit in front of your computer and be blessed from 10 to 2 on a Saturday. I'm just messing with my little schedule. Okay. Amen. Amen. And come out Sunday, tomorrow, this Sunday. I don't know what the date is, but it's the last of our March Madness. Established by our ambassadorial prophet, Michael Henderson, the labor has gone forth, and it is a time of experiencing the presence of God. And I believe that what to transpire is going to bring you to a place where you've heard a lot of teaching, you've been exposed to a lot of things, and now you're going to go forth and find for your own personal time with him clarification. Some things are in general, and then some things are very, very specific. And as you go through the room, I'll just call it a room, there are things that will draw you to the place that he is drawing you as he prepares to send you out. So be a part of that awesome worship experience at Labor's physically on Sunday starting at 10:30. And then, you know, anybody that wants to get involved with the Seder, which would be the 15th, April 15th, in person, at Labor's, 150 East 124th Place in Chicago, Illinois. We will be preparing for that. And anybody interested in becoming a part of that worship service, please contact Overseer. And y'all know my number. Okay. So be blessed. Be prayerful. And be on the wall, hands busy with praise and with warring. Amen, amen, amen. Embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Amen.
Dookie?
Kim.
Hey. What's his name? Well,
I'll call you later over there.
You certainly can, young lady.
Okay,
I don't know how to set it up. Yes, I do.
Thank you, Overseer. Thank you, Overseer.